such an auspicious, you know, welcome old allies and new. But the rising sign right now, when we were supposed to begin, is such a great rising sign. It's 6 plus Taurus. The image for that is the woman of Samaria at the ancestral well, healing cross-cultural encounters. And it reminds us that we are here as public dreamers to animate the desirable profferings of the great meta-guiding story, lest we leave by default the opportunity to the diabolical dementors of doom. Because 6 plus Taurus resonates through American history, it was found in the first September 11th, 1857, when the Mormons attacked settlers, and they were disguised as Indians. They cut them off from water, and they said, a truce, you can go get water. And they went to get water, and they killed them all. And Pluto was at 6 degrees of Taurus. We go, that is not a healing cross-cultural encounter. Bad, bad behavior into Hazinamus. Remember, the gods in the ancient world, people abusing power, they were sent to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving. We go, knitting and weaving for you. And when Trayvon Martin was murdered by George Zimmerman, the moon was at 6 degrees Taurus. We go, no, meant to be healing cross-cultural encounters. I love the bishop, the Episcopalian bishop of Florida said, I want to live in a world where George Zimmerman gave Trayvon Martin a ride home in the rain. We go, yes, that. We go, so we are here for that. So we are here to animate the desirable. As I went out the door, Stella Coyote sends her regards, going, "Whoa, humans, but okay." And she did wiggle her little coyote butt and go, "Remember how you always say there's coyote hair in the muti, but very often there actually isn't. So brush me and take it." So I actually have coyote hair from Stella Coyote as part of our muti, Syrian tobacco muti. We remember muti means power and healing. So we say, "Oh, spirit of the compassionate trickster residing within each one of us, open the path that we may be of maximum great storytelling good at this time of dire beauty." Wah! Okay. So there's much now. I love, you know, last night my Maryland representative, Chris Van Hollen, on the House floor, you know, went through this rigmarole with the Dementors and then ended his speech by just saying, democracy has been suspended. Until now, we say, just for the fun of it, because as Venus trined Uranus at 3:04 p.m., at 2:56 p.m., the Senate arrived at a deal. We go, go Venus, go Venus. That's adorable. We have much on our work table. A great colleague with whom I was staying last night, a great astrologer I've known since 1978, but she said, remember the last Uranus-Pluto square, as we introduced the kind of meta-guiding story, Sinclair Lewis had said, when fascism comes to America, it will be draped in a flag and carrying a cross. We go, ooh, wise Sinclair Lewis, wise. So he said that it was 1933, the last Pluto-Uranus square, when we hadn't discovered Pluto yet, so it wasn't available for kind of conscious cooperation. But so in America, we had the New Deal. And remember the WPA and many great actors recently have been saying, you know, I wouldn't be an actor unless the WPA, because there was the employment of artists and creative people and the building of capitals and the hiring of writers and building of infrastructure, really good. At the same time, we had the New Deal. In Europe, they had the New Order, 1933. So it's take your pick, New Deal or New Order, whoa. So that's part of the what's available. But there is a great opportunity now, and we remember that in the history of humans and ritual magic, the intention, this is very booming. Can we turn it down a little bit? I feel like God. Oh, it's a little easy there, easy. Whoa. You put it on the God setting. I was like, no, I'm on. We're all trickster aspire. That's better, better. Can you hear me okay? Is it too loud? Can I talk in a high voice? So does that sound good to everybody? That's okay. It's still humming. You say humming a little lower. A little lower. Oh, okay. Okay, so it's just us that it's distorted. We are only distorted to ourselves. Okay, that sounds good. And not anymore. No, that's right, until now. So the purpose of ritual magic was always humans gathering the likes of ourselves to intend at an auspicious time to spiral forth into group mind, into the memosphere, you know, expanded realms of tolerance, blessing, well-wishing, wisdom, and an expanded repertoire of responses. So, you know, I part of the frame story, those of you been hanging with me and those who are new going, oh, yeah. But the outer planets, Pluto, large by energetic symbolism, even if not by mass, says Pluto, who's cute tonight. they're the keepers of the whole kind of guiding metastory. And they each represent, you know, huge forces of nature's evolutionary ingenuity, you know, in a cultural and even in a biological sense. So part of the frame story that we're in right now, you know, Pluto, death, rebirth, intensity, and Capricorn structure of world square, 90-degree angle to Uranus, trickster, and Aries, you know, release the past, liberate it, and offer it a fresh template for expression. But it's bumpy. You know, and as my friend Sylvia said last night, you know, people say, when will this square be over? Well, we go, well, never. You know, all transits are permanent in a sense. And she said, when we learn to become them, you know, and we go, that's what we're kind of engaged in tonight. This is the fourth of seven Pluto-Uranus squares coming up on November 1st, All Souls Day. Pluto thinks that's very witty. The last one will be March 17th, 2015, which is also very witty, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. We remember the apocryphal story of St. Patrick, my favorite, is that he was actually a Druid initiate underneath his disguise as a, you know, Christian guy. And at a party, he was given a cup of poisoned wine. So he holds the wine up to the light. The poison rises to the top. He blows it off like froth. Wah! And he quaffs the drink and toasts everyone, including those who tried to poison him, causing the elders to go, ah, a real initiate. So that's where we're going. That's the kind of completion of the cycle. So we go, there's a metabolizer of poison in each one of us. That, you know, we've all been handed a cup of poisoned wine, personally or collectively, or, you know, the family you were born into, or, you know, what the hell. But, you know, and what we do, we don't go grr, because part of what we'll animate right now, you know, the trickster redeemer, you know, very often it's the woman storyteller, but it's the woman storyteller within all of us, regardless of our extremely temporary age, race, and gender assignment. And it's a different quality of heroism, because the woman hero right now, at 3:04 p.m. and still very strong, Venus in Sagittarius, the woman storyteller, trines Uranus liberation. And we go, ooh, powerful now. And that's, again, the deal comes, the opportunities are available. So we say, you know, metaphors are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. Cooperators are standing by, awaiting the metaphor. So, but they're proffering them too, going, here you go, humans, here you go, come on, you little mythologically illiterate humans, here you go. So Venus, art, Sagittarius, the archer, trine Uranus, liberation. So it says all of us, and things you can take away with you tonight, we have a quiver of arrows. They are tipped with compassion, with tyranny as their target. Because the woman storyteller or the trickster redeemer within us all is interested not only in liberating the land, liberating all women, introducing actual equality, but liberating even the tyrant who has murdered his own heart. We're animating the desirable all-inclusive story. So there is great opportunity now. There is the compelling illusion of chaos and destruction. It's extremely compelling. But it is an opportunity for the likes of ourselves and all critters. Venus in Sagittarius is the gathering, as my great spirit brother ally, David Grimes, introduced me to Br'er Rabbit, or reintroduced me to Br'er Rabbit so long ago. And the crucial opening lines of that trickster tale, there was times when all the creatures used to gather to sagacuate, just like there ain't been no hard times, like there ain't been no falling out, like they remembered they were all kin. Well, it's always good, but it's particularly strong now. You know, Venus in Sagittarius, you know, sagacious, comes from, you know, sagore, keen judgment, and then earlier than that, sag, to seek. Sagittarius is to seek, and it means that. So sagacuate makes complete sense. I don't recommend this to anybody, but there's a few of us in the audience who did binge watching of Breaking Bad. Anybody willing to confess? Anybody willing to confess that? How many episodes at once? How many episodes at once? Five? Do I hear five? Eight at once? Ooh! Oh, great master. three seasons. No, I did six seasons in August into September. Like, I don't recommend it, but I can't stop. It's like meth itself. You know, but it is a powerful phenomenon, you know, and now everyone in America knows how to launder money and make meth. It's extreme hyper yang death frenzy, you know, whatever, but quite compelling. And very now, it's sort of like a truer, funkier odyssey, going in your face, America, going. But it starts off, it's basically about healthcare. It starts off that the humble, you know, kind of mousy Walter Mitty like, you know, professor of chemistry is given a, you know, a dire cancer diagnosis and has no money, so he's got to become a meth empire. But when he's teaching in his chemistry class, he says, you know, the faster chemical interaction, the more violent the explosion. He's teaching in his class, and we go, ooh, that's a Pluto principle, that Pluto intensity, death, rebirth, and volatility, and it says Pluto represents that which is volatile to the degree to which it is suppressed or exiled. It is volatile in direct proportion to the force of its exclusion. So we go, thank you, Walter White. There we go. And it's, I think it's adorable at Open Secret. There's so many people who watch Breaking Bad. We are an eclectic group and broadly tolerant as well. So we know we're headed into human-instigated CSI. The whole world is a CSI realm, this collapse. And Pluto and Capricorn says, you know, as dominance and empire go down, alas, as we know, it's taking much with it. All hate, no cattle is an article that just came out now about South Dakota and the cattle that died in the 4-foot snowstorm because the previous week had been 80 degrees. So they'd moved all the cattle to rescue them from the drought in the south to North Dakota. It's very poignant. It's like, oh, we are very sorry. New York Times article that came out last week that said, grown-up scientists say 2047, you know, by 2047, the coldest year in the future will be warmer than the hottest year in the past. So we go, all right, so we're all in this. We all have to collaborate and experiment together. The lichen, the tardigrades. Does everybody know what tardigrades are? Oh, yes, I do. Just Google tardigrades, tardy like late and grade like school. I thought that Rupert Sheldrake's wonderful sons were putting me on because they said, no, they're these amazing little whatever they are, little creatures everywhere in the moss and the lichen. And I go, no, they are. So if you Google them, you will see, you know, the substructure, the Pluto kind of substructure of the world is actually adorable. There are these little beings that are microscopic, and they look really like, you know, adorable little kind of shuffling animals, and they're everywhere. And they're incredibly sturdy and resilient. NASA has taken them into space, mean NASA, and kind of dangled them out the window and going, oh, look, they're alive. And they're like, yes, we're alive. All right. But, you know, and then so they can go into suspended animation. They're going to survive no matter what. They can go into suspended animation. They can withstand space, whatever, but they, you know, and the. So we go, okay, so all of the creatures, everybody, we all have to cooperate with the substructure of reality, the little people and the big people. So part of the dynamic of the astrological language also is let us insource what we've been outsourcing. Each planet represents a quality of what it is to be fully ourselves. It's this beautiful language, you know, much dist, but it's this beautiful language of, you know, the relationship of our interior psyche to the whole big thing. And each planet represents a quality of intelligence that resides within each one of us and connects us to the world. So it's this wonderful concept of complicity, creative complicity. We're all creating the story together. Not shame, not blame, not blaming the victim. Okay. But it just means whatever's going on, we are contributing creative, complicitous energy to it and to any story. And once we realize that, we can go, I'm inhaling my complicity from this story. And exhaling it into this more desirable story over here and encouraging others to do likewise. Come on over there. This is a better story. You know, so it's not oblivious to the dire nature of now, but it is earning that. We know in the storytelling realm, you know, that the 5-act structure is comedy, not like ha-ha, but redemption, and the 4-act structure is tragedy. And basically they can be thought of as act 1 is here we are,
Act two is away. Woo! Act three is oops. Uh-oh. Act four is evil. We've been in act three and four for quite a while. Act five is the wedding, the kiss, the redemption, the go forth, the resolution, you know, for a better story in some way. So, you know, my friend, who kind of a playwright who gave that to me, said the problem with modern storytelling is either it ends in act four, oppression plays there, life sucks and you're nothing you can do, go, feel better, go home. Or it skips act four and tacks on a happy ending, but then act five has not been earned. You've got to go to the underworld in order to earn the redemption, and all the myths tell us this, you know, that deep descent. So leadership, certainly, the Saturn realm. Saturn is overhead right now, very fantastic. Oh, no, actually, it was overhead at the Venus Uranus trine. It's setting in the west, that's right this second. Saturn's at 11 degrees of Scorpio, which is called the Renaissance court degree. And we go, ooh. So I love that. You know, every time we gather now, you know, is an opportunity and a responsibility, and they go together, you know, to convene the Renaissance Council, the Reverent Renaissance, you know, rising from the rubble, that says each one of us has a unique experimental mojo medicine, something we've been working on that we may or may not know. You know, it's like Fatima, the spinner in the tent. Do many people know that story? No, really? Okay. Buy my book, even though it's ancient. Very, 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 very brief thing. But Fatima is a young woman who lives with her father, and they learn how to make thread. And he says, you've been so wonderful. Let's go on a journey and find you a husband, and let's set forth. But the ship runs into trouble in the Mediterranean, and it sinks, and all are lost except for Fatima. Great grief, and she's washed ashore on North Africa and taken in by Bedouins, and she's quite unhappy, but soon makes peace with her lot, and it's okay, and she learns how to weave stout cloth and rugs, and she's wandering on the shore one day when she's kidnapped by pirates, and she goes, now it's getting older, but they teach her how to make masts, and she makes peace with her life, and it's like, well, it's okay, and then the pirate ship is off the coast of China, and a terrible storm comes up, and the ship is wrecked, and all are lost but Fatima, who's washed ashore, bedraggled to China. And she goes, no, never told you that. But what she didn't know is that there was a legend in China that an amazing bedraggled woman would appear on the shore and be able to build an amazing thing that everyone had heard about but no one had seen, called a tent. So the emperor brings her to court and goes, can you do this? And she's like, well, sure. Bring me stout rope. Oh, we don't have it. And, you know, and she remembers her time with her father and makes the rope. Bring me stout cloth. Oh, we don't have it. Remembers her time with the Bedouins, weaves the thing. You know. Bring me long poles. Oh, we don't have that. Remembers her time with the pirates, makes the masts, the poles. And then all the tents she's seen in her unfortunate and fortunate and unfortunate life, and makes the most incredible tent. You know, and everybody's impressed, and the emperor says, you know, anything you want. She goes, I'll marry you for starters, sweetie. And then lives in great contentment, realizing that each chapter of her life was the building in of some crucial talent for the making of her ultimate happiness. So it says, you know, so Venus in Sagittarius right now says, we've all been journeying and traveling. We've all gone to the underworld. We've all had great loss. I love the lyrics that says, we have all been close to death. We, you know, had little. Then we found rhythm, and now we have much. You know? So we've all, you know, been in Fatima's journey in some way, but it says every single person here knows how to make a tent. Something so obvious, like, well, sure, but that nobody else has seen, that is a syncretizing of the whole journey of the last 12 years, the last 24 years, the last 37, whatever. And so Neptune chimes in and says, we just want you humans to wonder. You know, I wonder what my tent is. I wonder what medicine mojo I know that seems so ordinary to me, but that is so needed by everyone. So, again, the inhaling. So I love the Pluto, the Breaking Bad thing. There is meth to this madness. You know, cook it back, Pluto. Pluto is Ho'oponopono, meaning the image for Pluto is the circle of spirit being cooked in the cauldron or the crucible. So it says, cook it all back. Cook it all back. Everything goes into the cauldron. We go, is this the most ingenious and egalitarian society possible? Is this the best government possible? You know, cook it back, reimagine it, you know, and give it fresh expression. So, you know, it reminds us that Pluto says, you know, in ancient times and still in our bones and blood, you know, Pluto was always the death and resurrection show. It said the purpose of all gatherings like this in some way or any was to invite power into the world. We don't source it. We invite it by our music, by our hearts, by our dedication, and then we direct it, like orchestra conductors going blessing over here and over there. And the modern world's insanity is largely due to its misunderstanding. It thinks that dominance and control, you know, are power. And Pluto says dominance and control are the toxic mimic of power. Let go of control so real power can come into the world. My friend Catherine Neville gave me this quote. We don't know who said it, but we love it, and we desire to attribute because it's good ally etiquette. So, but it's, listen for your destiny, and when it calls, release your plans. You know? We go, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good right now. But the Death and Resurrection show, you know, says part of the noir, navigating the noir of now, and I love detective novels and all kinds of things, and Michael Gruber's dark esoteric thrillers, but in which there's gems, in which the indigenous man character in his novel discovers that to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before. Now, again, we've got the trickster, redeemer, storyteller. You know, again, it's and that's why we want to gather, you know, to practice this, you know, so that if somebody's behaving badly, you know, we can get caught up in the inflammatory reaction, which is prevalent there, but that we want to hold each other to again, the you know, Esther Hicks Abraham says, we can't change anybody in any way except by seeing them connected to their own wise autonomy. And I know this is true. We fall off into turbulence, into reaction. You know, but we do magnetize what gets our goat, you know, and in small and large ways that we want to kind of tease. You know, I live in my cute little humble cuckoo place outside of Washington, D.C., on your behalf. But, you know, there's a little cafe, a little teeny shopping center, and we've been gentrified. It used to be a funky neighborhood, and now there's just a terrible Breaking Bad influence of humongous Mercedes the size of a city block and whatever, and I have a kind of attitude about it, going, as opposed to I see them connected to their own wise autonomy and turning their Mercedes into a, you know, tomato garden, you know, but they often, I'm there with my little bowl of soup, and they often drive up right like to here, leave the motor running and the lights on, and go in for 5 or 10 minutes to shop. And it does get, it, you know, because each time we come to kind of composure, we get the gods go, let's ratchet it up a little bit. So they know that, they know this gets my goat. And I go, oh, I see this person, kind of, no, I just can't stand it. You know, I'm taking photos of his license plate and just, you know, and I put a little thing going, no idling, and he comes out going, what are you doing? And he goes, my wife is nursing a baby in the back seat. I'm like, oh no, phooey, you know. But and then I still can't help it because it's like, because I can't see. Maybe he might be making it up. You know, it's a dark thing, and I go, I can't stand it. You know, and I can't help myself. I go, are you a Democrat or a Republican? And he goes, what does it matter? And I go, I'm writing an article for something important. You know, and he goes, oh, mind your own business. And I go, well, that wasn't really perfect. You know, So we're all humbled, you know, going, all right, back to the, okay, send him, bless you. I see you connected to your own wife. I see you driving a Prius next week. I see your imaginary wife, you know, seeking a divorce. Who knows, whatever. But anyway, you know, may it all go well. But because I'm so interested in Death and Resurrection show and also Breaking Bad and CSI and all these things, you know, and reading detective novels, I like them, because they are the originating impulse of descending to the underworld to restore order. And I've been reading recently Judge D detective novels written in the 50s, but they're based on a very famous detective in China in the 6th century. And the person who wrote them found, you know, these bamboo books that are still readable, apparently bamboo you can still read, from 221 BC, and they're all crime novels and detective novels. But they're always about the detective as the hero who wants to restore human affairs to be in accord with the mandate of heaven. And that's really the essence of even Breaking Bad in some way. I didn't quite get there, but of the detective novels. So we do want that. I think in the moment of before we're too hilarious, we might want to have We'll All Be Gone Tomorrow, just to remind us that we are all future ancestors, and to bring a kind of heartful, yes, A heartful depth to our gathering, my great spirit brother ally David Grimes.
You know, you speak so well. Doesn't she?
What would you like? You
want? Shall I just do this one that we know is working?
Oh, okay. Whatever amuses you most.
Let's see if that is working. All right.
It is.
Cool. Well, that will do.
Oh, No, it's not good enough.
Well, it might be. Yeah, it's good enough.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, all right. All time is now, past, present, future. The veils between worlds are not only thin, they're open, all loved ones together. And also, this song will all be gone tomorrow. I want to dedicate to one of my teeth, which had to be extricated last night at about 6 p.m.
We're all on dental surgery post-op, you know, because we know that our word identity comes from dente, teeth.
That's what I told my dentist. He goes, "No kidding."
No kidding. They don't know. That's our job. I think as dental patients, I keep going around to innumerable dentists, going, "Did you know that the word identity?" They're like, "No." Okay.
I'm wading in the dappled stream. My feet are cold, my hands are clean. There's water dribbling on my chin, as sweet as water's ever been. We'll all be gone tomorrow. Children, take me by the hand. Your laughter is much sweeter than the things which I don't understand. We'll all be gone tomorrow. Friends may come and friends may go. Have you seen their ashes blow? Out to where the garden grows, we'll all be gone tomorrow. The river runs down to the sea. It runs for you, it runs for me. Ah, bust your dams and let her free. We'll all be gone tomorrow. And if this it were my final hour, your lips I'd place upon my brow. Like bees asleep upon the flower, we'll all be gone tomorrow. So raise the glass, my darling dears, for this one night we'll have no fears. Outside the coast is looking clear, the sea is like a silver mirror. Heaven must be very near, we'll all be gone tomorrow. Children, take us by the hands, your love is so much deeper than the things that we don't understand. We'll all be gone tomorrow.
Yay. And I love that. I love that. And I also love, it reminds me of a Scorpio friend who's, we were brewing and going, relationships that are dangerous in a good way, what would that be? And we sort of both came up with going new Pluto dating standards, that we would only sleep with people that we would be happy to see at our deathbed. We go, oh, that raises it up. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo, Hanna, Foon. I was one of the very... right, not many left, is there, right? I think it's a useful criterion. We don't have to hold ourselves to anything, you know, every night, you know, But as an aspiration, I was the kind of gatekeeper for a wonderful friend of mine, the late Dr. Qing Wu, that Steely Dan wrote about, and Who Are You, Dr. Wu? And anyway, but he was an extraordinary person who had many concubines in some way, and you know, and many children by many wives, and but they all got a house and they all went to Harvard. So it's like, well, fair enough, okay. But as he was dying, you know, women were flying in from around the world, and I would run them by him, and I go, well, this person's outside. He's like, God no, send her back to France. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, or her, yes, 5 minutes maybe, okay. But it's a Pluto dating standard kind of a thing. And it does come to the Pluto realm of danger and beauty. Danger and beauty. Yes, we want to honor our ancestors. You know, as Robert Bly says, you know, we deserve, we receive so much generosity, you know, for for keeping our small boat afloat when so many have gone down in the storm. We go, ah, so many of our teammates. And I just learned that a great environmental ally, Peter Warshall, died last April. I'm like, oh, what a good person. So I was watching some of his lectures, and I'm really interested in predator-prey dynamic that we'll explore a little bit. And he picked right up on that, he led first. You know, he was giving a lecture on light. He said, light in nature, fireflies, they create this fantastic bioluminescence, and they can also mimic other insects that they then attract. Oh, I'm beautiful, and then they eat them. And he said, you know, octopi in the sea, they can't generate their own bioluminescence, but they welcome bioluminescent bacteria that is very beautiful. And, you know, animals go, how beautiful, and the octopus eats them. And he goes, you know, beauty and death, they do go together in this beautiful, strange, complex planet that we're a part of. You know, and he said, you know, in the modern world, there's art galleries, but they don't have much sizzle, you know. And then, you know, part of the dynamic is somebody sent me a perfect quote from Lewis Hyde on Trickster Makes This World, and I found it so intriguing. He says, to explore the predator-prey dance as an evolutionary positive on this planet. And I'm going, because we often wonder, you know, regardless of our dietary choices, I mean, why do we live on a planet where, you know, eats cute things, you know? And this, you know, so Lewis Hyde says, coyote, trickster, can imagine the fish trap precisely because he's been a fish himself, as it were. Nothing counters cunning but more cunning. Coyote's wits are sharp precisely because he has met other wits. Just as the country bumpkin may eventually become a cosmopolitan if enough confidence men appear to school him. Where we're kind of going on this, Pluto Uranus, is that in times of danger, there is an evolutionary opportunity for all of our species to become smarter. You know, then that might be, in fact, part of the dynamic, you know, or at least, you know, it's one story we can vote for. But he says, in Evolution of the Brain and Intelligence, Harry Jerrison presents a striking chord showing the relative intelligence of meat eaters and herbivores they prey on. And they're only taking the as a measure of intelligence, which is not the only one, but the brain size to body size. So they start off 60 million years ago, and predators much smarter than prey by this one standard. And then we go 30 million years forward, and everybody's smarter, but predators still smarter than prey. And then we come to now, and everybody's smarter, but predators still smarter than prey, but they're getting closer together. And it talks about how the predator-prey relationship, kind of backstage, is one of the great evolutionary engines that drives evolution on this planet. I'm like, how interesting. Now, P.L. Travers, who wrote the Mary Poppins books, was kind of onto this. Not the horrible movie, you know. but the books are profound. P.L. Travers, you know, grew up with just terrible family circumstance, and if anybody wants to compete, mine was worse. No, I'm not saying that, but other people do. But she forms in her heart, and this is very now, you know, a guiding question. What will take care of life when the human grown-ups are incompetent, dead, or missing in some crucial way? And that question that she comes to honor guides her to study feminine shamanism around the world. And Mary Poppins is a shaman. She is not to be messed with. She's not, she's like, we have a waxing full moon, and a lunar eclipse at the end of this week, and we won't see it, but we get to feel it. But in the first book, Mary takes the children in her ward to the zoo. At the zoo, the humans are in cages and all the animals are free. And it's Mary's birthday, the full moon. And she has a cousin, the Hamadryad serpent. And the Hamadryad serpent gives her his shed skin and says to the children, we are all the same, you know. We have the jungle and you have the city. The same, you know, quality of energy composes us, that we are all made of stars, you know. It may be that to eat and be eaten are really the same thing because we are all star beings in the end. And then they all do the great dance of creation. I go, holy moly, you know, somebody read me that when I was like six. I was like, well, and when we're six, we go, of course, you know. So he wraps up by just saying, in evolutionary theory, the tension between predator and prey is one of the great engines that has driven the creation of intelligence itself. We go, cunning, the development of cunning in some way. And now we're back to kind of the CSI kind of realm. But we also want to bring in the sacred teachings of Star Trek, of course, at this point. Because I love, and this is this is via the sacred teachings of Eddie Izzard. and it's one of my it's one of my favorite riffs of his. He goes, Star Trek, a very advanced civilization, and yet their phasers only had two settings, stun or kill. And he said, we need many, many, many more settings. So he said, you know, the left kettle on at home setting, I will kill you. Oh, wait, oh, God. The sudden interest in botany setting, I will kill you. No, wait. And that's what, you know, the next evolution of Breaking Bad would go more this way, you know. And so, you know, I put it to my trickster training adorable council that meets on Mondays, ask me, you can join. But, you know, come up with more settings, you know, and I just put that to all of us to take away, going, come up with more settings so that when the, you know, giant, huge car is idling in front of you, there's more settings because right now we want to be agents of anti-inflammation in an inflammatory hot world. You know, so if we love freedom, to react to anything is hot, you know, and adds to the conflagration, and it's also not free. It's to carry around a portable prison for oneself and for others locked into an undesirable story. You know, to cultivate an ever larger repertoire of responses, sudden interest in botany setting, you know, whatever, is to ally ourselves with nature's evolutionary ingenuity that we call trickster, and that we see in ravens, and that we see in coyotes, and we see in everywhere in nature. And it tends to come alive, you know, in us and in nature, at, you know, at a time of great direness, going, well, experimentation and ingenuity and spiraling. We want to, again, you know, this idea of inflammatory versus calm and cool. We want to become turmeric and ginger. We want to become anti-inflammatory agents. And that was also a little snippet. You know, I heard of somebody's lecture on neuroscience that said, tales of lamentation, abandonment, and betrayal create an inflammatory physical response in the body. And I go, how interesting. You know, so it says, well, then stories in our personal body and then the body collective, you know, articles are coming out now that as the world heats up, violence is increasing. You know, reactivity. So as trickster, contrarian liberators, then we want to become responsive, cool, you know, to enter hot situations as agents of cool response rather than hot reaction. You know, and that's really kind of why we're all here now. You know, because it does, we can all get, you know, thrown off the horse of our own high, you know, the high horse of our own teaching, everybody, you know, it's all equal. But we want to create a field that encourages that so that we can come back to it going, you know, that didn't go well, back to the drawing board, okay. And to place our dedications going, because we can't even be the art form of who we want to be by ourselves. The purpose of taking vows is to go, this is the direction I want to go in. I want to be, you know, hold me to this, you know, and bonk me on the nose gently when I deviate. And then we have friends, you know, who are loving and critical, you know, who can go, oh, no, back, that we all guide each other back to the being we want to be and to create a field where that's, you know, plausible. So I love the sacred teachings of Star Trek. Whoa, whatever that was. But we also remember from Star Trek that the sacred teachings, when the spirit of fear possessed the Enterprise, it had animated Jack the Ripper, and it feeds on fear. So Captain Kirk got the whole crew stoned, and so the voice was like, "You're all gonna die," you know. And there's Uhuru and everybody going, "This guy sure is gloomy," you know. And that's the quality. We want to become, you know, again, satirical. You know, let anything we have Wiccan leaks, you know, there's WikiLeaks, we have Wiccan leaks, which is, may anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and an occasion for mirth and satire, at least in the fullness of time. You know, and the mythological news, I keep playing with this often late at night. I go, right, Owl Jazeera, that's what we want. We want Owl Jazeera, hoot, 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 hoot. You know, for everything there's a mythological thing, because what we're seeing out there, you know, bless everybody's hearts, all of our befoibled, you know, selves in the mystery play, but it just cracks me up, again, symbolically, that Edward Snowden, we have his birth time, so his moon is 13 plus Scorpio, and the image for that, the Sabian symbol for that, absolutely in the book, is telephone linemen at work installing links to other realities. And I go, that is so perfect! God, I love it! You know, bless your little heart. You are a muggle, but we'd want to see, you know, secret passageways opening for you to have, I don't know, some reality show out of Venezuela or something. You know, but so befoibled beings. You know, Bradley Manning and WikiLeaks guy Julian Assange and Snowden, they all have their moon in Scorpio. So they're all doing the thing. You know, in befoibled. You know, in the mystery play, but muggles. And we do want to kind of lift the load off of, you know, each person to open it up on other levels. That's why WikiLeaks may everything be. You know, and again, to not, because this, you know, and I've met many Facebook friends here tonight. It's very exciting. But as we remember, you know, to resist and to compost the impulse to write in capitals, because it makes one sound like a crazy person, and it is a hot inflammatory thing going, no, then you go, funda, funda. You know, and then, you know, I mean, we're all imperfect. I go, you know, your use of capitals actually supports empire and colonialism. I go, duh! I go, I can't help it. And I think a principle is, because we don't want to be boring, we do want some sizzle, you know. And I think a guiding principle is, if we leave a circumstance jolly, it's liberating ultimately to everybody. You know, it's again, I've said this over the years, but it still cracks me up, because I used it, you know, once for real, which is, it's the Groucho Marx teachings. You know, I've had a wonderful evening. This wasn't it, but I've had a wonderful evening. And it's just, you leave jaunty. You know, people are kind of confused, but it also, it disrupts the normal narrative. You're not going, how dare you? You go. And disruption of the narrative, you know, part of the mythic news is by tossing lightning into the closed loop of the story circle, Coyote creates a liberating spiral. Just, you know, and so being unexpected language, fresh language, you know, I can't help myself. So we go divine feminine. you know, just in the sense of going, and some more words, something else. What does that mean? What's a for instance? You know, and when everybody was saying, I'm so disappointed in Obama, it's like, could you use another word? I mean, there's a talking point going around going, could you say bamboozled, you know, outraged, flabbergasted, you know, whatever, you know, something else, some other word. So it's not just, because disappointed, again, molecules love to dance to the resonance of our language. Language is sacred. We are invoking. You know, I get, you know, so many do-gooder emails, and one from a good news service, but the email header is always, we are completely desperate. And I go, delete. You know, it's not effective. It's not effective with me. You know, I'm so sorry for you. But you keep affirming that, just like when one says, I am, which is a powerful, and we don't want to be tiptoey theosophists, you know, we're allowed to blow it, but it's the predominant habitual. You know, so when we say I am disappointed, dis means underworld, and appointed, the word means I am powerless in the underworld. So when everybody was going around going, I'm so disappointed, I am so powerless in the underworld, we go, you know, and again, you know, the media edict I saw, you know, on Seatmate's plane, somebody, middle-level management media, the dictate coming down from on high, you know, I think it was NBC kind of thing, but it said, eliminates, in the reporting of all stories, eliminate subtlety, increase urgency. Whether it's weather or anything, just keep people in a hot, inflammatory, reactive state. Like, so we, as experimental contrarians, we want to, you know, decrease urgency, increase subtlety and complexity. Going, there's always 20, 30 stories going on at once. You know, when somebody loves a movie that I really couldn't stand, I go, I love the movie you saw. So the you know, and again, it's nobody really takes offense at that exactly. They go, oh well, good, I think. And you know, and again, play. People want to, you know, we're moving our emotional default setting. You know, even now tonight, you know, to from whatever it was like to woof woof, want to play. You know, that kind of trickster model. And we know, you know, if somebody doesn't, we do not take offense, because that would be inflammatory and silly and would mean it wasn't really an invitation. You don't want to play? Okay, onward over here, you know. But with Woof Woof Wanna Play, it's a way of immediately going backstage, you know, and liberating people from their roles. I have a really pretty great time. I mean, I hate to invite, you know, hubris, you know, going through airport security mostly because people go, I love your hair. I wish I had hair like that. And I go, another job, and you can, and there you go. And what did, you know? And it's pretty jolly. I don't, you know, they're just disguised. Now, there is a humorless totalitarian heavy uniform at work, you know, which could get our goats, and, you know, and then you could go into that story, you know, but we are engaged in a different experiment, the Aikido of public engagement, because part of the beauty and subversion of this language of astrology, which all cultures have had, is whatever we speak to in another, you know, is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves, you know, which is why, and again, we're all working on this, which is why we don't want to judge somebody, because we're inviting the least evolved part of them to dance with the least evolved part of us, and it's just never pretty. And we do blow it. I mean, when I was, you know, finger wagging at the Mercedes, you know, I was like, oh, and he was like, right back, and I go, well, that's perfect, kind of. You know, but back to the drawing board, it's not what I had in mind, you know, liberating, whatever. So we're all kind of playing with that. The models, you know, if lamentation freezes action, which is what the... Now, we love Duende, we love lamentation. Again, we love complexity, so none of this is absolute. All of it is fluid, sort of. You know, we know, I mean, part of the Sagittarius dynamic of Venus now says there's always 20, 30, 40 stories going on at once, and they can all be conflicting, and they can all be true. Which one are we going to vote to animate? You know, and you go, that's a true story, and that's a true story, and they can be conflicting. So there's beauty in lamentation, and there's beauty in grief, so we don't want to impose certainty on anything complex. But what the neuroscience guy was saying, lamentation freezes action, and action sometimes is the antidote for lamentation, meaning doing something. Like the great, beautiful movie, Life is Beautiful, when the trickster hero is disappointed or somebody lets him down or terrible, he has no time to go, it's like on to the next thing. Where's the next opportunity? Where's the next opening? But it's also a complex thing to ponder, to all of us take away and put in our pipes and smoke it. Scripts of deprivation, you know, release inflammatory response in the body, and it's an evolutionary dead end. I mean, it takes people who are, you know, it takes people out, and the wounds in psychoimmunology of shame, abandonment, betrayal. So I don't think it means ignore those, but it does mean to honor those as fourth act, you know, and then to, again, you know, seeking that calm. You know, you had introduced me so long ago to the Taoist Rainbringer, which many of you might have heard. Again, it was Dr. Grimes who told me about this, but crucial, very Venus principle, and we get to take all these different components with us. So when Richard Wilhelm was in China translating the I Ching, there was a terrible drought, and the villagers summoned the Taoist Rainbringer. And he came and he sat for 3 days, nom, 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 nom. And then it poured and poured and poured, and as you said, even snowed. And so Wilhelm, being Western German, Swiss kind of guy, went and said, how did you make the rain come? And the Taoist Rainbringer said, I didn't make the rain come. Where I live, things are in harmony. When I came to your community, it was so whacked out that it took me 3 days to come into balance. And when I came into balance, the rains came. So it's, again, part of our art form to go, part of our repertoire of response, you know, how do we come into balance when we enter into hot situations or come into a community when we cross borders? You know, Venus in Sagittarius says we're all preparing to cross borders. I'm working backstage to prime some, you know, conversations with actual live conservatives to bring them on Pacifica Radio, just like Pacifica used to do when it started off first, going, let's talk to difference, and let's have the experiment of finding commonality. There is that. I mean, I've been, you know, sometimes it's just toxic, but sometimes you go, ooh, this is very interesting. A primary metaphysical conversation to have with conservatives goes something like this. That I've been having and that we're kind of priming up. But the conservatives I know, I mean, they go, Tea Party, no, crazy, insane people. Even the Koch brothers are like, you're messing with money. Now you've gone too far. but the conservatives, you know, different, many stories. But they quote Edmund Burke, and they go, you know, what do you know about Edmund Burke? No, not much. Edmund Burke says, you know, this conversation about government, small or large, is irrelevant. Edmund Burke and many, you know, said, if we cultivate wisdom inside and internal Saturn boundaries and responsibility and constraint, the fewer outside regulations and laws we need. I go, this is, you know, astrology, this is metaphysics 101, this is Taoism. And conservative guy goes, Taoism, I love Taoism. I haven't been able to talk about Taoism with my conservative friends. You're fun. And I go, well, let's have this conversation. And because that's a worthy one, going as things now are, because part of what Sinclair Lewis was saying, you know, in socialism and communism, the state takes the corporations. In fascism, the corporations take the state, you know. And that conversation is a worthy one that actual conservatives, you know, that look very different, but that's part of our storytelling skill, to cross borders and then have a little broom to sweep away the border once you've crossed it, going, no, you know, crossing to find commonality. And recently had dinner with a whole bunch of conservatives, and I start out, I can get harumphy and then go, honey, easy, but breathe, be very calm. Because we went to a Chinese restaurant, and all the conservatives all wanted to order their dish and not share. And I go, you a Republican by chance? I am. And I go, oh, it's so perfect. God. But by the end of the meal, they were going, oh, this sharing of things. I don't have to eat the whole thing of fried rice myself. I can have some. Yes, there you go, you little guys. There, it's going to be fine. So they're all, you know, Obama's, blah, blah, blah. You know, I go, okay, I'm not going to touch that thing because it's hot. It's hot. But I say, you know, economy, you know, how are we not all interested in how do we create an economy based on peace rather than warfare? And they're like, yeah, we are. Okay. So we go, that's not. So we go, no, this is too hot, but over here, you know, and this is too cold, but this is just right, Goldilocks there. So the predator-prey thing, what is it to be human? What is unique to our species aside from our rudeness? What is a good thing? And we want to wonder about this. I think it's our capacity to borrow qualities of intelligence from flora and fauna, from animals and plants on this kin, to be, you know, to go, I want to be more like Wolf. And it says right now, to save something, to form an alliance, become more like it, to save water, adopt the strategy of water. To save wolves, become more like wolves. To, you know, and again, this is again something to take away and tease with. What do I love, and how do I become more like it in order to form a partnership and heal the treaty with that part of creation? And I think that might be one of our dynamics. It might be that humans have the capacity, you know, to rise up out of this cauldron and be agents of increasing loving disharmony back into harmony, creates a greater harmony than existed before. Again, to be agents of symbiosis. Because the, you know, Neil Douglas Klotz says the most criminal translation in the Bible is where it says, you know, and God gave dominion to humans over the animals. And he goes, that's not the word. That is not the word that was used. The word that was used was, you know, something more like, and God gave to humans the opportunity and responsibility to guide all creatures to their most collaborative essence. And the Sufis tell the story that, you know, God's doling out responsibilities and gifts and opportunities, and God goes, who wants this one? To guide all creatures to their collaborative ingenuity. And the wolves said they were busy, and the humans said, we'll take that. What could go wrong? From our rudeness to become willing agents of synchronicity, you know, this goes with this, and how about this ingenuity? But again, animistic, you know, with full democratic animism that everything's alive. And I do love, again, the Thai saying, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism. That the loss of animism and intrinsic respect and talking to everything like, hello, you, and hello, you, a little, not just, you know, the tardigrades and the things, and the, but everything, the hello, piece of paper, the call and response. We live in a conversational, con is with and versus turning. Everything's speaking to us all the time by shape and color and rhythm and design. And if we just approach the world with informed, seeking, reverent curiosity, we're back in the choreography of creation. We're back in the dance with everything. So this idea of, you know, offering and Venus, the invitation to collaborate, you know, and the wondering. I wonder what could go best. Oh, here, you know, cooperators are standing by, and all of the creatures eager, and the plants eager for humans to be to offer their wonder and their willingness to Kahoot, because it's perfect that we humans can't resolve this crisis, this death dive, by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. So it's only by a kind of heart-opening humbleness, a willingness to cooperate with everything, it is kind of perfect. Now we get this evolutionary assist again, this idea of a dynamic evolutionary leap of intelligence. Intelligence we would measure as, many measures, but the increasing collaboration with everything. We say magic is simply a willingness to collaborate with everything. I mean, everything. The Mercedes, the thing, how do we dance and spiral with it as opposed to take it on? And again, we're all working with this because I took the guy on and that wasn't very good. And I was like, whoa. And I realized also, and then you get outside yourself and I realized, the people in the Mexican restaurant were looking and going, oh, I possibly look like a crazy old lady. No, okay, all right, okay. Back to the, going, no, we want to compost that thing, okay. So that realm of, willingness to collaborate, and even the phrase, wise as serpents, gentle as doves, it might be within our own psyches that we can be predator-prey, again, regardless of our dietary thing. Wise as serpents, predator, gentle as doves, that we might have a unique opportunity to resolve, to have a kind of evolutionary engine within ourselves in some way. Hyde goes on to say, trickster myth derives creative intelligence from appetite. It begins with a being whose main concern is getting fed, and it ends with the same being grown mentally swift, adept at creating and unmasking, proficient at hiding tracks, at seeing through the devices used by others. Trickster starts out hungry, but before long he is master of the kind of creative artifice that, according to a long tradition, is the prerequisite of art. I go, ooh, now we're back to art and danger and beauty and earned and cunning in some way. Again, these are mysteries. These are, intriguing things. Yes, I think we've done that. Yes, the Judge D, 7th century things, to become smarter. We did that, all right. Okay, in Breaking Bad, you can actually see people becoming more cunning, not compassionate, but more cunning, change or die. Pluto does say, get smarter or die. And in many, in 6th century Chinese detective novels, in whatever, there's all, in The Dirty Dozen, and all kinds of things, there's a crucial team in Milarepa. There's a crucial thing that the team of reformed rascals, which is why we want to cross borders. There are con men, there are people up to no good, but there's redemption by being invited to a better story, and we all need their skill set. Judge D, his team is comprised of former miscreants and criminals, brothers of the Green Woods, which is a euphemism for highwaymen, robbing, savvy. But then, like Milarepa, who is a great Tibetan saint who murdered people. He was a highwayman until he has change of heart. And we go, right, we need the skill set of the predator, the savvy, cunning thing, invited to the larger, dynamic, positive story. So in so many, again, it's the former outlaws or the whatever the thing is, and we need that, the scallywags, bringing a skill set of cunning and ingenuity wedded then to compassion. And that's why, we want to cross borders and go, I wonder what that person's role is in the mystery play. It's related to, if stories are the key, the stories we tell ourselves and the stories our culture tells, are related to inflammatory or anti, if we're turmeric and Jupiter and ginger. I love my friend Deborah Felmuth, who's lived a great part of her life in Syria, and I have her host her frequently on radio to guide us to the beauty, the once beauty, and may it be so, and still hidden beauty in Syria. And she goes, in Syria, part of the beauty of the Middle East, which has been occulted, but is the power of blessing. Your whole day is woven by reciprocal blessing. May it go well for you and for you and for you. And so we began, and it's part of the dynamic that the colonizer, unbeknownst to self, actually seeks the medicine of what he colonizes. England really needed the metaphysics of India. America really needs the beauty and poetry of the Middle East. Underneath all that, underneath the Mars hyper-yang death frenzy, there's a Venusian realm. Out of danger, let there be collaborative art across borders. So Deborah and I, she was going through blessing. You start your day, And it's a meandering. Again, cultures that are curvy and meandering, not straight. Straight is, you know, straight water carries pollution, curvy water cleanses itself. The serpent, the snake, you know, when Jesus says, be as wise as serpents, the word he's using, according to Neil Douglas Klatz in Aramaic, is the same word for serpent, Eve, and wisdom, same word. We go, oh, the snake is the antidote to evil. You know, I go, how interesting, because it's curvy. And it's like in feng shui, they say, make sure your paths are curved because evil is so stupid it can only travel in straight lines. You know, and so we go, curves, curves. It's also, you know, talking to great ally Michael Stalker about the predator-prey dynamic and the measurement of intelligence. He goes, another measure of intelligence that's really important in brains is the number of convolutions. And I go, oh, this is fun. You know, so we want to be convoluted. And he goes, yeah. Convolutions means the number of folds in the brain, you know, the amount of complexity. He goes, sea turtles, 2 million years, the same thing, you know, out there in the ocean, not, you know, stressed now, but for most of their life not. Very smooth brains. But again, under stress, we developed creative ingenuity and convolutions. Again, it's an adaptogenic skill, and we go, I love that. So in keeping with that, the nature of polite cultures, polite not as an imposition but as intrinsic manners from within about relating to everything, is curvy. You don't go, let's get straight to business, you know, that's so honky, you know, and or howly, or farang, you know, and so it's, you know, how is this and how is that, and ah, and may, you know, and when you awake, may orange blossoms fall upon your path. And the other person would, you know, and Deborah and I get into this going, I see your blessing and raise you one. And when you awake, may orange blossoms float across your path and your lover kiss you in the neck right where you like it and the pomegranates thing. And I see your blessing and raise you one. So we go, blessing poker. You know, and this is the kind of Jupiter realm. And I love, you know, Sandra Ingerman, pretty good ally teacher of shamanism. And when I first met her, and this, you know, we're all building our tent, these things that come together. She was telling a story about a woman who was ill all the time, every bacteria and every virus. And so they journeyed back together to see her as a little girl, and they saw this just impassive, no affect little girl. And they both discovered together, because we want to guide people to their own autonomy, not, you know, do the thing, you know. So what Sandra said, it wasn't that the bacteria and viruses were bad, they just had more enthusiasm for life than this little girl and this woman. And I go, all right, it's an enthusiasm contest. It's a blessing poker, an enthusiasm contest. You know, like, oh, witty, dangerous bacteria, I see your enthusiasm for life, and I raise my own enthusiasm. And the bacteria go, oh, we're even more enthusiastic, and we're even more enthusiastic. So, you know, again, and then everybody gets more enthusiastic. You know, we want to play with that. I love, again, James Carr's Finite and Infinite Games. Finite game is about winning, infinite game about keeping everything in play. And the outer planets really represent how do we keep everything in play. You know, and everyone's got a role in the mystery play, no matter what, and we might wonder what it is, but we want to see them connected to it. Remember, it's Gollum's overreaching in The Lord of the Rings that is essential for tossing the Ring of Power into the crack of doom. So everything, in one way, we wonder about. Somebody had said that lichens are not a species, but a relationship between a fungus and an algae, and they can together crack rock. We go, okay, agents, you know, qualities of this, going, ooh, how, you know, how fantastic. So we want to, you know, envisioning the future brings us into collaborative intimacy. And many people are kind of writing about this, but we feel it in our bones and blood. You know, to speak to, you know, everything's alive, to speak to the desirable future, you know, creates a little, we're journeying towards it, it begins to journey towards us. It's like late great astro ally Jim Lewis, the founder of astrocartography, when we were working together a long time ago, but when he was alive, although maybe he's here now too, but he said, you know, it's a kind of ingenious system that takes your astrological chart and kind of projects it onto the world and says space is subjective. We run into different parts of our lives and different stories in different places because it comes alive. So going to a place, very strong, people from that place, very strong, teachings from that place, but even thinking about going to a place, already little molecules of the place start to, you know, the journey begins before the journey begins. So in the same way, you know, the journey to the desirable future, once we kind of dedicate going, hello, hello, desirable future, and it goes, hello, hello, we go, oh, we want to invite you, again, invite in the antidote. So I love, you know, so many of what we think of as creations are collaborative partnerships, you know, that we see everywhere. You know, as William Penn counseled, let us then try what love will do. And we do say, you know, now is the important time. So with that in mind, I think, as we're throwing things into the cauldron, and this is our kind of fairy tale version, you know, we'll be doing, you know, a bigger thing at Bioneers Saturday night. It's a trippy thing. My, you know, colleague buddy Rick Tarnas that I've known since 91. Do many people here know Rick Tarnas? Say, oh, look at that, it's Rick Tarnas being sick. Okay. Yes, it's a curious, interesting thing. So Rick Tarnas wrote Cosmos and Psyche, which is a fantastic book, as though it were written by 800 Germans, but it is a fantastic, I won't say that on Saturday. And welcome 500 Germans in the body of Rick, no, only here, because we're backstage. But it is a prodigious, you know, work of corresponding cultural movements and outer planetary things. So it's been optioned for a film by Kenny Ossibel, who's the co-founder of Bioneers. I go, really? Okay. They seem to have, you know, Kenny goes Hollywood. They seem to have money and everything, you know, director lined up. And even more important, John Cleese is willing to narrate. So because he and Rick Tarnas taught a course on comedy. Were you anybody in that course together? But anyway, so I go, John Cleese. And so they're going to be filming Saturday night, but it is curious. It's like my life. You know, we're all switching roles. I live with a coyote, a half coyote. You know, and I realized I was talking to Stella Coyote and going, you know, Stella Coyote, I've lived with your half coyote self longer than I've lived with a human. I don't know what that means. And then every now and then in her, I realized part of our trade off, because everything's a trade off. So in her youth, being a between worlds being, she gave up a lot of freedom, although she would escape and bite small children's ankles and things, and then I would go, no, you don't want to meet the authorities, no, I know you're giving up some freedom, but here we go. But now, she's 15 and still really kick butt, but I go, you're, it's paying off, because now, you know, the deal is you get to have old age, you get to sleep very deeply. You know, and that I don't think you'd have that in nature. You know, because now part of what it is to be humans. What is the deal? We know that our relationship to dogs and wolves. You know, what have they been getting out of it? We don't know if this is, you know, good or not. But one of the things that happened is we keep wolf into dog puppy much longer. In wolves will have a fairly narrow window of where they will accept others, and then it closes. Dogs are like, hello, yeah, you got a bone, what the hell, I'm 15, but yeah, I like you. You know, so we've extended their range of pack and kinship. We go, And Stella right now is now, for the first time, we've been working on this for 8 years, hanging out with the cats. Before she was like, the cats are part of my pack, this is not right. No, I just want to eat their little necks, I want to just... But now she's like, oh, it's kind of cool, okay. But it is also funny because we keep our hours together, but when she decides it's time to get up, she rips the covers off and then she rips my clothes off and I go, it's come to this, you're the most responsible member of this household. I don't know how this has come. And then somehow in putting the Saturday night thing together, you know, people are like, do this thing, but everybody else is too busy, and I go, God, I'm apparently the grown-up in this. This is so trippy. But part of what we're doing a little bit here, and then more, you know, we say fairy tales are the intimate, customized version of myth, you know, so this is kind of our fairy tale intimacy here, kind of hang out, you know, and then Bioneers Saturday night, which I can say because I'm not on the radio, it's only $10. Although don't sign up online because they want your blood type and your social security number, and it's a box office is fine. But that will be more kind of mythic mojo of cauldron activated, and well, we're gonna, but just a little bit, you know, what we want to throw into the cauldron, the toxic mimics, you know, to liberate, to Pluto says throw into the cauldron, you know. Old images, old language, and when in doubt, throw it out. Language. Is this sacred teaching? Nothing so sacred that it cannot be cooked in Pluto's cauldron, Pluto and Uranus's cauldron of democratic equality. You know, because we're at a big, you know, the divine wants to be liberated from past confines of human imagination and those stories. So we asked them, you know, would you like something better? You know, because the purpose of power was always to invite, again, power into the world and then to offer it a story or a template, you know, come on in and animate this. And as we throw it into the cauldron, we say about everything, you know, is it equal? Is it democratic? And this is where the trickster gets to play, you know, with reverent irreverence, you know, higher chakras, lower chakras, how about just chakras? Again, just experimenting, and is this teaching, is the trickster welcome? Can the truth be said? Is it intrinsically equal, equal male, female, and equal in its regard of humans and the capacity to cooperate with others, other species, other things, equal? Yes? Welcome aboard, and now back you go into the cauldron. And I think that's part of our dynamic, and certainly redefining Mars, hyper-yang death frenzy, into the cauldron and going, let all Mars find its true duty in the capacity to preserve and protect life. Go, yes, that. So we're going to chorus in a moment, and as we're chorusing, kind of inviting all the critters to be present and to be honored, to be welcomed, spirit animals, and you know, all those beings, you know. Think now and as we go forth, you know, the qualities of what we have an affinity for as we begin to weave our composite cloak of wisdom, you know, and again, metaphoric agility. So, you know, something gets our goat, we get our goat back, and it comes back friskier, thump, 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 than before when it got, you know, or if something's hot and reactive, we go, oh, ducks, come for a temporary cloak of ducks so that everything, you know, rolls off me like water on a duck's back. Or if it's any of these playful things, are, you know, everything's happy to incarnate. So think of, you know, you're weaving, like Fatima with her tent, we're weaving our, you know, our vows, our customized aspirations of the syncretized art form we all want to be, borrowed from plants and animals and creatures whose ingenuity we admire, going, come in and guide me. And I know this is true as we are public dreamers or storytellers in personal life or larger life, I mean, or media or whatever the thing is, I know this works in all realms, which is when we make a dedication going, you know, grant me the capacity to be a responsible voice for the whole team and keep me from inflammatory reaction or answering the questions, you know, only answer the questions you wish were asked kind of thing. And that's a really good thing before engaging. So how shall we chorus, and in doing so, transmit to the rest of our kin our willingness to chorus with creation? You know, we know our word consider, con is with, sitter is the stars. You know, we gather to consider now, and our word catastrophe and disaster, both of those dis against the stars. So we avert catastrophe, we avert disaster by pausing to consider, and of course, you know, nothing more wonderful than singing. So, Dr. Grimes, would you lead us in All God's Critters Got a Place in the Choir?
Sure.
Oh, boy. Do people know this Bill Stain song? Yes? Oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay, good. So sing it out. Grimes will lead us, but there's a chorus we can chime in on.
All right, well, who's really going to be singing?
Oh, you brought it. Oh, good, 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 good. Yes.
So, to celebrate the democracy of all beings,
yes.
This great old Bill Stain song, as he says in concert, for all you animals out there. So I'll sing the chorus, so if you don't quite know it. I didn't know that, I mean, I confess, I'm so ignorant of so much. I didn't know this song, except I'd heard, you know, the great little bits of it. So I think I can get through it. I think I've learned all the critters that are in there.
Can we hold it up, or no?
No.
Okay.
This will whisper in my ear. So it goes, all God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wires, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wires, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Listen to the bass, it's the part on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with a big to-do, and the old cow just goes moo. The dogs and the cats, they take up the middle, while the honeybee hums and the cricket fiddles. The donkey brays and the pony neighs and the old coyote. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wires, and some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Listen to the top where the little birds sing on the melodies with the high notes are ringing. The hoo-hoo owl hollers over everything, and the jaybird disagrees. Singing in the nighttime, singing in the day, the little duck quacks and she's on her way. The possum ain't got much to say, and the porcupine talks to himself. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wires. And some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. It's a simple song of living sung everywhere by the ox and the fox and the grizzly bear, the grumpy alligator and the hawk above, the sly raccoon and the turtle dove, the turtle dove. All God's critters got place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wires. And some just clap their hands or paws. And one more time. Now all God's critters got place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wires. And some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Now.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
So Venus says, yes, we want a blessing to all beings. We all want to be rocked in the embrace of beauty again. That's great. And I love in Arabic, again, the word, there are many kinds of crazy, but Majnun means crazy for the divine. You know, may we be agents of crazy for the divine. Yeah, Majnun. And Mazbut means, of course. So let's say Majnun. Mazbut. Majnun, Mazbut. Majnun, Mazbut. Excellent. And then all exhorting us, our exhortation to say the opening lines of the Odyssey, which Homer gives to us. I'm not ashamed. I got this from Dan Brown. He says, sing in me, O muse, and through me tell the story. So let's do this. Sing in me, O muse, and through me tell the story. One more time. Sing in me, O muse, and through me tell the story. Thank you, team. Yes, go forth and be woofy. Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. That's right, and it has come to this. Now we're backstage. I go to the Symbiosis Festival and whatever, hanging out with Australian yoga people, and young kids go up and go, "Are you his mother?" And I go, "It's come to this. It's come to this." Oh wait, what the hell? Yes, I am. You know.
When you wish.
Oh, do it. Yes. Yes, yes, do it. Yes, do it.
Okay. We can't do this at Bioneers.
We can't because it's copyrighted by Disney. Right?
No. You know, as they say, songs are not for those who wrote them. They're for who needs them.
Yes, yes, good. Do it. That would be wonderful.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do, fate is kind, she brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true.
Hey, David Bryan. Hey, David Bryan. There you go.